You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
When it comes to health policy, the Opportunities Party has a strong focus on prevention, believing our health system is about to be hit by huge demand it will struggle to meet. I spoke to TOPS Deputy Co-Leader Jeff Simmons about their approach to funding the health sector and the details of their policies, which include regulating the sale of junk food, alcohol and legalising cannabis. First, I asked him about the situation in Ohariu, where TOP has decided to stand a candidate. He explained the message his party is trying to send to voters there.
In Ohariu, we have, well, it's actually not just Ohariu, we have this situation in many electorates, but of course the people of Ohariu are used to voting tactically because they have voted for Peter Dunn in the past. But there's actually many electorates in New Zealand where both of the people that are already standing are pretty much guaranteed to get in anyway. So, you know, the Labour and National MPs are very likely to get in on the list. So actually the electorate vote makes very little difference. So, you know, what we're suggesting to people is that, you know, they might like to use their electorate vote tactically, voting for the Opportunities Party. In doing so, we'll be able to provide an alternative for whichever, you know, Labour or National gets in, we'll be able to provide an alternative to for them to not have to work with Winston, basically.
What is TOP's approach to health policy? So first of all, how do you think the system's going at the moment overall?
Oh, look, our health system is world class. You know, we have an excellent health workforce that works really blimmin' hard to give the best possible results. But most countries around the world are facing similar issues to what we're facing, and that costs are rising very quickly. We have an ageing population. People are expecting more treatment for the same problems that they've had in the past, and we've got the rise of chronic disease, which in particular is, you know, diabetes is the major issue over the next decade that we're facing. So most health systems in the world, ours included, actually just can't deal with the demand that's coming.
So you've decided to go down the route of a little bit more regulation around that. So I saw that you're going to ban junk food advertising to kids, tax all junk food 20%. Can you tell me a little bit about the decision to go down that line of thinking?
Yeah. Well, everyone knows prevention is better than cure. And we know that actually we get four times the benefit from investing in prevention than investing in treatment. So we need more investment from prevention within our health. But we also need people to play their part too. And that really means eating less harmful food, because that is, you know, that's now the major driver of illness and death in New Zealand. It's overtaken smoking. So poor diets, really, that's the number one problem we face as a country. It's the same argument as smoking, you know. People have to look after themselves, otherwise, they're going to cripple the health system down the road. So we just want to encourage people to eat a bit more healthily by taxing junk food and by using that money to subsidise good food, so people eat more of the fruit and vegetables, for example.
Often it is low-income people who do rely on cheaper junk foods because you can sort of get more bang for your buck. Do you worry that it will just put up the price of food for all families and it will be harder for them to eat healthy food as well as things that they might be used to buying?
Well, I mean, that's why we want to recycle the money into making healthy food cheaper, so that overall people's food budget is not impacted, and if they are, then nudged towards eating in a more healthy fashion. Things like the staples will not be affected by this. So I think, you know, the kinds of things that make up people's the bulk of people's diet, you know, won't get taxed. It'll be the low quality junk food that is.
And so the money would go back into subsidising things like fruit and veggies and that sort of thing, would it?
Yeah, fruit and veggies, milk. What we want to do is sit down with a panel of nutrition experts and work out exactly what should be defined as junk food and what food should be classed as as healthy food.
And moving on to alcohol laws, so you would want to raise the drinking age to 20 and also increase the price of alcohol by 10%. So that's a similar kind of thing. Is it just altering people's behaviours through making it a bit more expensive and a bit harder to access?
Yeah, I mean, alcohol is actually the most harmful drug in New Zealand at the moment. It causes more harm than pee or cannabis, all of those drugs combined, actually. Alcohol's three times more harmful. So, yeah, looking to reduce that harm through a bit more regulation. What we're suggesting on the age is that 18 and 19-year-olds could still drink in a bar, but they wouldn't be able to purchase from an off-licence. And, of course, the problem that has been seen since the age of purchasing got lowered is that 18 and 19-year-olds are more likely to buy for much younger people. So we've seen increased amounts of drinking in far younger populations, you know, what they call the halo effect. And, yeah, in terms of the tax, well, I mean, the tax on alcohol hasn't been increased in over a decade now. So, actually, the relative price of alcohol has gotten cheaper and cheaper. And particularly at that cheap beer and an RTD and ready to drink, there is some quite cheap alcohol now, so we really want to push that price up at the bottom end. And you know, we can use that money to fund all of the stuff we need to do in mental health, such as drug and alcohol treatment programs, more programs for teens after schools to keep them occupied, and of course the funding the mental health system itself.
Yeah, we'll ask you about mental health in a second. So first of all, could you also explain your approach to cannabis law reform and how you think that should be changed?
Yeah, so it's the same kind of goal as alcohol, really, in that we want to reduce harm. And actually, most of the harm through the current system with cannabis arises because people either have to deal with the criminal justice system if they get caught in possession of marijuana, and, going to prison is incredibly expensive and most people have really bad outcomes out of it. They come out of prison more likely to offend than when they went in. And the other major driver of the poor outcomes, of course, is that we force people to buy these illicit drugs off criminals, basically. So we're pushing them into the hands of criminals in order to get these illicit drugs. So in some communities, that's been shown to actually increase the uptake of harder drugs. So it isn't that smoking cannabis leads you to take harder drugs. It's the fact that you have to interact with criminals that is likely to increase the uptake of harder drugs, such as pee. So, we want to legalise it, regulate it and tax it so that we keep the price as high as it is now so that we don't get an increase in use after it's been legalised. And again, we want to see that money going back into all of the good stuff, educating people about the use, particularly not to use marijuana when they're younger for a developing brain, and helping people to deal with drug and alcohol issues when they do arise.
And so with our mental health system, it seems like there's a lot that needs addressing, but what would the Opportunities Party's first priorities be?
I think there's an urgent need for more funding just to be able to provide the help that people need. People aren't getting an appointment quick enough. They aren't being able to see someone quick enough. So that needs to be resolved immediately. We also need to sort out drug and alcohol treatment. So there's a big crossover between drug and alcohol treatment and mental health. And currently, drug and alcohol treatment's underfunded by about 50%. So those are two major things that need dealing with straight away. But we would like to see more longer term a review of the mental health. And we think actually the ideal is to make sure that we keep people out of the mental health system. So again, it's about investing in prevention, similar to the rest of our health package. And we think that a lot more could be done out in community to do that. So, for example, in Wellington here, we have a fantastic service called Evolve Wellington, which has had funding in the past. It's struggling for funding now, but it does great work with young people right across the city, and they get supported by the council. And there are other examples of these sorts of organisations in other centres. We don't need to reinvent the wheel, we just need to fund the people that are out there doing the mahi at the moment and let them do more of that good stuff. The key thing for people to know is that no matter how much money Labor or National throw at the health system, it actually can't meet the coming demand. It's impossible. There's so much demand that's going to hit our health system in the next decade that it just won't be able to cope. It's not a matter of money, it's just that there's not enough doctors, nurses and hospital beds to actually take care of things. So we absolutely need to invest more in prevention, and we also need to have a conversation about what we can reasonably expect from our health system, because we're not going to be able to get everything that we want in the future.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.